Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I am thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry. Choosing a college is a really big decision. If you're seeking God's perfect plan for your future, or if you're passionate about serving Him in the ministry, we invite you to find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu. West Coast Baptist College is committed to training laborers for His harvest.
It's been said, if you have a little God, then you have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you have little problems. Friend, I don't know what problems you have today, but I know if you belong to God, He's a very big God. Today we're going to understand more about Him on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. You come to today's program with problems you cannot solve. What circumstances and questions are beyond your control in your life right now? Well, friend, we hope today that a fresh glimpse of God, the nature, the power, the greatness, the goodness of God, will help you see your problems and life's challenges in light of His nature. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you with Dr. Paul Chappell, the teacher, preacher, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. It's a joy every Monday through Friday to meet with you through this program, and today we're studying and understanding God, a great series of messages that really inspects from God's Word what He says about Himself. And it's our prayer that as you look at the fresh glimpse of Scripture and what God says about Himself, your problems will become smaller in light of His goodness, His power, and His greatness. Today we study the justice of God. You may be facing circumstances you feel are completely unjust, but Isaiah 45 teaches us about God's great justice. Here's Paul Chappell.
Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time? And who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Let us pray. Our Father, one day we look forward to that time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And until that day, Lord, we live in the middle of a world that is truly incensed with you, is turning away from you. But Lord, we pray that today we would recognize that even with all of the sin and the injustices around us, that you have a heart, Lord Jesus, to call us unto yourself, that you are a just and a righteous God. And we thank you that because you are just, that you have provided a way of salvation for each and every one. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's one here without salvation, that today they would come to know Jesus Christ personally, that today they would understand the joy of being saved. We pray and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
A number of years ago, the late actor Jack Benny was receiving an award for his work. And upon receiving the award, he remarked, "I really don't deserve this, but I have arthritis and I really don't deserve that either. So I gladly accept this award." Now, many of us have been involved in situations and relationships and trials, and we really didn't think we deserve what we were getting out of that situation. And many times in life, there seems to be inequities that we cannot explain with our own human reasoning. In fact, most people this morning have observed situations just like I have observed situations in the world around us. And when we see these inequities and when we see the tragedy around us, we really don't understand exactly what's going on. Sometimes, if we would be honest about it, we really don't understand what God is doing in a given situation. And we try to comprehend it, but we really can't quite put the pieces together. For example, maybe you've asked this question like I have. Why was that entire family killed, but the drunk driver walked away without an injury? Or maybe you've been like I've been to the Children's Hospital on occasion, and as you walk through places like Children's Hospital in downtown Los Angeles, you ask yourself, why do all these dear families have such tragedy affecting such young children? Or maybe you've asked the question, why do they have such a seemingly good marriage, and mine's not really going like I thought it would when we started this relationship? Sometimes all of us ask questions like this, and we sometimes, if we're not careful, even wonder about God's justice system. But I want to remind you this morning that you and I serve a God who, even when we do not understand nor comprehend the situations of life, is always fair and He is always just. He is the moral governor of the universe, and He is always working on our behalf. He is always doing exactly according to His plan what He determines best. His ways are right, even when we do not understand His ways. Now, Isaiah was a prophet who understood this truth. Isaiah's ministry spanned over a period of some 60 years for the children of Israel. And during a part of his ministry, the children of Israel, the Jews, were in captivity in a place called Babylon. Some of you have studied the story. A wicked king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar came. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, God allowed him to carry them away some 700 miles into captivity. But God also allowed another enemy of Israel to defeat Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, the Bible speaks of him in our chapter 45 and verse number 1. His name was Cyrus. He was the king of the Persians. And the Bible speaks of Cyrus in an unusual term. In verse 1, it says that he was God's anointed. Isn't that something? That's a phrase that is normally used to describe Jesus Christ. But here it is used to describe a pagan king named Cyrus. And this pagan king named Cyrus defeated Nebuchadnezzar and thus brought the children of Israel back into their homeland, back to Jerusalem, many of them came. And isn't it amazing that even God, and especially God, can even use a wicked king to fulfill His purposes? And that's exactly what He did. He anointed a man named Cyrus to be used of God in order to bring the children of Israel back home. And so once they gather back home in Jerusalem, the prophet Isaiah calls them together. He says in verse number 20, "Assemble yourselves and come." He says, "I want you to get together. God has a message for you. I want you to gather together to hear this message." And as Isaiah calls for the assembly, he begins to explain to the children of Israel the justice of God. These who had been pillaged from their homes and taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, and these who had seen their loved ones killed. He says, "I want to get you together and try to help you understand from God's perspective some of what is going on." And there are three evident reasons cited by Isaiah as he gives to them the process whereby we might understand and the principles whereby we might understand the justice of God. And I want you to see with me this morning the justice of God. We see it in three great truths. First of all, we see the justice of God this morning because He remembers us. He remembers us. God has your address this morning. You may think He's forgotten, but He hasn't. And here the prophet gathers the children together and he says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together." Verse 20, "Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." He said, I want you to gather together. I want you to see that God remembers us. Now, even though God remembers us, we see in this verse this morning that man refuses God. Man refuses God. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 20. It says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Here we see that God remembers man, but man does not remember God. Even though God had allowed Cyrus to bring the children of Israel out of Nebuchadnezzar's bondage, yet the fact of the matter was that they had brought with them the graven idols from Babylon. They had been turning themselves to the false gods. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none that seeketh after God. You know, if you'll think about it, most of the time, men and women are not saying out on the streets today, how can I find God? How can I get closer to God? It takes someone knocking on their door, or it takes a trial in their family, or it takes some other circumstance to even get people to think about God. Men today seek the God of the New Age philosophy. They seek the God of positive thinking. They seek the gods of the Eastern religions, Hinduism and so forth. But they are not seeking after the living and the true God. Even though God is remembering us today, mankind as a whole is not seeking after God. In a 1993 presidential prayer breakfast, Vice President Al Gore said, "Faith in God, reliance on a higher power, by whatever name, is in my view essential." The vice president said, faith in God is really important. Whatever you want to call God, it's really important. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. That is what we would call a very polytheistic statement. In other words, Christians are monotheistic. We believe in the one true and living God. We don't say, hey, whatever God you want to pick, you want to worship a rock? Go ahead, worship a rock. You can worship a rock. You want to worship a cow, maybe? Good. Whatever God you worship, it's just important to worship a God, is what was stated. Now, the fact of the matter is that Isaiah very boldly says something in the last part of verse 20, and I want you to see it because it's important to understand. He says, and pray unto a God that cannot save them, you see. You see, while God remembers us and sent His Son Jesus, there are billions of people today who are worshiping gods and following gods that cannot save them. You say, how important is all this gospel preaching and church and offerings and singing and going to church and being faithful? I'll tell you how important it is. There are some religions today that cannot save and that will send someone straight to a Christless hell. And there is one religion today, namely the religion of the cross of Jesus Christ, that will send someone straight to heaven. You see, when we say Jesus saves, we really mean it. Jesus saves. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And so Isaiah doesn't say, look, whatever the name is fine. Isaiah says, listen, there are some gods that cannot save. And so God remembers a world that, by and large, is running after all kinds of other gods, is very polytheistic. Even so-called Christians in America today are opening the doors so broadly that they're saying, well, you know, if it's Jesus, fine, but if it's some other way, that's fine too. In other words, just seeking any kind of a belief system. But here we see that even while God remembers us and sent Jesus Christ, His Son, the world does not remember God. I say to you that God is a just God in the very fact that He's remembering us even when we're not remembering Him. And isn't it amazing when tragedy strikes and sometimes people say, where's God? How could He let this happen? The very people saying that from their lips weren't thinking about Him for the many years prior to the tragedy. As the songwriter once said, He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Now, man refuses God, but notice, secondly, God calls man. God is calling mankind today. And you see it in verse 20. He says, assemble yourselves and come. God says, come, I want to talk to you. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. You see, God has not forgotten you. No matter how fair life seems to be to you, no matter how insignificant you think you are to God, God is still saying to you this morning, hey, why don't you come and let's get together. Let's reason together. Let me help you. Let me show you the way of salvation. And you see, He remembers us even when we refuse God, even when you were hard in heart, going your own way, living your own party lifestyle, God was still thinking about you during that time. And He was saying, hey, why don't you come here? Let's get together. And even when you're going through time of trials and you think that your life doesn't matter to God, He's still saying, come, let us reason together. Oh, everyone that thirsteth and is weary, come, and I will give you rest, He says. I'm glad that we serve a God of grace, aren't you? A God who's always remembering and thinking of us. The other day, my wife came back from the grocery store and the kids were coming in with groceries, and she came in with a little bag of something, and underneath the other arm, she had the most mangy, grody, sickly-looking kitten I have ever seen in my life. And I looked at that creature, and I said to her something like, what is that? She said, it's a kitten. I said, where did you get that? Lucky's. I don't know about you fellas, I didn't know Lucky's had stooped so low to start selling kittens. And I don't want to offend anybody this morning. We want to keep a real spirit in the good spirit in the church, but my favorite animal in the planet is not a cat, all right? I'll be honest about it. I don't think Lucky sells kittens, but she said, I got it at Lucky's. This cat still, as I walked by it this morning in my garage and as I looked with contempt upon it, and wondered how it had made its way into our family unit, I cringed with the thought. It's still sickly, wobbling around. But you know, something in my wife's heart when she saw that said, that little kitten needs a home. The moral of the story is, thank God that I'm not God. It's like my son Matthew years ago put a big sign up on his door, said, no girls allowed. Girls, thank God that Matthew's not God. You see, God in His infinite grace loves every one of us equally, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter how insignificant or sickly we might be, God is still interested in every one of us. He's calling us. He remembers us because He's a just God. But He doesn't just remember us. He doesn't just get our attention. But when He does, He has a message for us. He reminds us of some things. And I want you to see what He reminds us of in verse 21. He says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Would you notice the phrase, a just God and a Savior? He reminds us here of the union of His two attributes of justice and of the Savior. He is a just God and He is a Savior. Let's notice first of all this phrase, He is a just God. Even when we cannot clearly see His justice, He is still a just God working on our behalf at all times. He is a just God. We could mention various peoples to whom He has been just. I think, first of all, of the Jewish people. And to the Jews, He has been a just God. God has made many promises to them. One of the great promises made to the Jewish people is what we call the Abrahamic covenant. And in Genesis chapter 15, God made a promise to Abraham. He said, you will be my people, and I will be your God. And He said, your people will number like the stars of heaven, like the sands of the seashore. God says, I will be your God. By the way, that's why I believe God has blessed America as we have been faithful to our relationship with Israel. Because they are God's chosen people. While they may be held in contempt by many around the world, God says, these are my people. I have chosen them. Later on, there's another covenant found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That covenant is called the Davidic covenant. That was the promise whereby God says, from the line of David, I'm going to bring a savior. I'm going to bring a king. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus Christ was of the house and lineage of David. And one day the Davidic covenant will literally be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes that eternal kingdom of the Jews. And I'm saying that God has not forgotten his promise to the Jews. And in light of all of their trials and struggles, and in light of all of their persecution, they are still his people, and God will still establish his kingdom as he promised them. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 says, behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. You see, that prophecy of the coming of Christ will be fulfilled. God will be just to the Jew. Not only will he be just to the Jew, but I would say to you, secondly, this morning, God will be just to the Christian who is wronged. To the Christian who is wronged. You may be here this morning and you feel you've been dealt a bad deal. You feel that you're experiencing something that's unfair. Or maybe someone said something about you or did something to you that was very hurtful and you don't understand it. Well, I'm going to tell you something this morning. God will make it right. God will make it right. There's no need for you to become bitter of spirit. There's no need for you to be bent on revenge. There is no need for you to jump to conclusions. When you as a Christian are wronged and you feel that someone has wronged you, there is a God in heaven who is just, and he will make it right. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Sometimes people think, well, I'll tell you, that guy's wrong, and I'm going to straighten him out, and I'm going to do this or that to him. You know, God says, why don't you just wait and let me straighten it out? Why don't you recognize that I am a just God, and if there really is something wrong in that person's life, I'll be God, you be you, I'll take care of them.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president of West Coast Baptist College. I do invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. You can hear today's message in its entirety. You can also hear all of the messages from this great, powerful series, Understanding God. You can download them and even subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can find that and many other resources at dailyintheword.org. Now to wrap up today's program, here's Paul Chappell.
Thanks, Kerry. What a blessing to team up together and teach and preach here on Daily in the Word. And I want to thank you for being a part of this ministry. If you have not done so already, I want to ask you to visit dailyintheword.org. As I teach and preach every single day on more than 400 radio stations across America, it's a great joy to hear from people who visit dailyintheword.org, and they just simply click on the little tab that says Contact Us, drop us an email, and let us know what God is doing in their life. We love to hear from listeners like you. If God would let you also click the tab that says Donate and send a gift to this ministry in order that we might continue to pay for the airtime, we would greatly appreciate hearing from you today. That's dailyintheword.org. This is Paul Chappell saying thank you for being faithful to the Lord.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, we would love to hear from you this month, and we do have a gift. If you'll take the time to call or write to us, we'd like to send you a token of our appreciation. It's a booklet written by Pastor Chappell entitled A Maze of Grace. If you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you know of somebody who's bearing up under a trial or a burden, this book will help them find God's amazing grace in the maze of their trial. Sometimes it's in life's most confusing, frustrating moments that we see God's hand of grace in miraculous ways in our lives. This little booklet will remind you of this. Again, it's entitled A Maze of Grace, and it's our gift to you when you call or write to us this month. And just let us know that you're listening. The easiest way to do that is to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us tab. I do hope that you'll pray about contributing to our ministry. You can do that on the website as well when you click on Donate. And your investment into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for airtime so that we can continue teaching and preaching the Word of God on stations like this one all across America. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, our mailing address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, when we hear from you this month, we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Chappell's book, Amaze of Grace, a great gift for someone who's bearing up under a trial. It will encourage their heart and remind them of God's wonderful grace, even in the mazes of life. Amaze of Grace, this month, our gift to you. Thanks so much for being a part of this ministry, Daily in the Word. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. And until next time, have a great day.